right, are you ready? Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Turn to your neighbor and say, you better be ready. Come on, you say it deeper than that. Say, you better be ready today. There you go. We're continuing our series, Breaking Bad. We're learning how that Jesus came to break away the bad cycles in our life. Last week, we talked about breaking bad behavior. I know that many of you are traveling during this holiday season. I know today's the 4th of July weekend, so we have a lot of people traveling this holiday weekend. So first of all, let me say thank you for being back. I know I was talking to Earl. He traveled 19 hours yesterday to get back to church this morning, so he didn't get in there early this morning. I appreciate people like that who get there, had a very good excuse to miss church, but made it to be here. So thank you so much for being here. I pray that you have a safe travel when you're traveling, but we miss you when you're gone. Thank you for being here today. If you missed last week, I encourage you to get online and listen. Last week, I invited Dan Clark, the director of Care Counseling Services, to join me, and he and I together talked about breaking bad behavior and how that many people I send to him, I see make 180 changes in their life. They just see drastic changes, and other people just don't seem to make any change at all. So we talked about those common characteristics that let people break those bad behaviors. If you didn't catch that last week, I invite you to go online and listen to that. Today we're going to talk about something that probably doesn't relate to you, probably just to me here, but talking about breaking the spirit of comparison, right? How many know we struggle with the spirit of comparison? Matter of fact, let me give you some stats today. These stats are very true. 101% of us today struggle with the spirit of comparison. We all struggle with comparison. And it's something that starts at an early age. From the time we start school, we walk in comparing, you know, who's dressed with what, who's wearing what shoes. When you start driving, who's got what car? They got a better car than me. Their parents bought them this. I didn't get anything. They have a nicer home than me. I wish we had this. I wish I lived in that family. That family's a lot cooler than my family. And when you start comparing right away, at an early age, just comparison spirit comes on. But the good thing is it goes away, right? Because we don't struggle with it as adults at all, do we? No, we do, don't we? It doesn't let up that we find ourselves comparing. You've heard me share this story before maybe about how the CEO went into work one morning early. And as he walked across the lobby, the janitor was there with his earphones in, and he was mopping the floor, getting it waxed up and ready for the business coming in that day. And as the CEO walked, he said, man, I wish I could be the CEO of this company. I wish I could make his salary. I wish I could live in his house. I wish I had his wife. I wish I had his kid. I wish I had his cars. Man, if I could just live like him, my life would be so much easier, so much better. And the CEO walks in and sees the janitor with his earphones in, whistling, singing as he's mopping the floors. And he goes, man, what I wouldn't do to walk in and not have to worry about all the pressure that I have to walk in today. I wish I didn't have to worry about covering the payroll taxes and the salaries this month and making budget this month. And I wish I didn't have to meet with all these clients. And I wish I didn't have to support the big mortgage I have right now. I wish I didn't have so many car payments. I wish I didn't have a wife that was so materialistic. I wish I didn't. And the two look at each other with envy, thinking, boy, everybody else's life is so much better than mine. Isn't that true? We really fall into that trap today. We think everybody else has got it better than us. And we think that I want that. And the person that you're envying is thinking, I wish I had their marriage, or I wish I had their responsibility. It never leaves us. And so we find ourselves comparing. And I believe the Bible was very clear. Matter of fact, if you didn't know, the Bible is very clear about the spirit of comparison that we fall into as a trap today. And I want us to get into it because if we're not careful, it steals your joy. It'll cause you to maintain where you're at. It keeps you in that bad cycle. So I'm going to help you get out of that bad cycle. And one of the ways we get out of that bad cycle is we stop this comparison spirit. So let's go right to our text in John 21. This is a text where, now remember, Peter has just denied Christ 3 times, and then Christ was crucified, resurrected from the dead. And then after this happens, the disciples come out of hiding. Peter's come out of hiding. And now Jesus comes to him and begins to speak to him. Remember, Jesus showed up on the shore, and here's Jesus having a conversation with Peter. He goes, very truly, I tell you, that when you're younger, you were dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and they will lead you where you don't want to go. Now, Jesus was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Now, before we go any further, I want to tell you this. Remember now, Peter has just denied him three times. And why did Peter deny Jesus three times? Was it because Peter was going through a rebellious spirit? No. Was it because Peter had some secret sin in his life? No. The reason why Peter denied Jesus three times was he had a big struggle because he and the rest of the other disciples were in fear for their life, thinking they were going to be crucified just as Jesus was. Because people knew them as Christ's disciples, and so if they crucified Jesus, that means they must be coming after his disciples as well. So Peter is living in fear of thinking, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to live this martyr life. And he's in hiding. Just like you and I would probably have some of the same struggles, okay? But of course, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, being crucified and resurrected, now he's like, wait a minute. This gives a whole other meaning. Everything he talked about is so true. He was resurrected like he promised. And that means that my earthly, what I do here on earth, it really just falls short compared to what's going to happen in eternity with Jesus. So the die is the gain. And he began to have a whole different perspective. And Jesus, can you realize the very first thing Jesus comes to Peter after he failed him and resurrects, now he comes back and he looks right at Peter and says, hey, Peter, all right, I know that your biggest struggle was this. I know your biggest struggle was that you're worried about dying. So let me just make it easy for you. Yeah, it's going to happen. That's what he said. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. When you're old, they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. This is how you're going to die. So let me just tell you right now. This is it. Look at the rest of the story. It says in the next verse, Peter turned to Saul, the disciples whom Jesus loved, talking about John. He was also following them. And when Peter saw him, he said, hey, God, what about John? What about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among all the believers that John, this disciple, would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, why do you have a problem with it? Especially what Jesus was saying. So I want you to get the picture here. Come here, Joe. Pastor Joe, help me out a second. So get the picture here this morning. This is what's happening. Peter is finally coming to grips with, all right, Jesus is saying that I'm going to die the martyr's death. He's prophesying to me, telling me that the thing I feared most, it's going to happen. I'm going to die. They're going to leave me where I want to go. I'm going to die. So Peter's like, all right, I am fine with it, okay? You're resurrected from the dead. You're in control. I can handle this. But what about this disciple? What about John? What kind of death is he going to have, Jesus? And Jesus really speaks to the heart of the same thing you and I struggle with all the time. He says, listen, don't be jealous. I may kill him off in 1 year. I may kill him off in 200 years. Doesn't make a difference to you. I have a plan for him, and it's not the same plan for you. What I've asked you to do is just walk in obedience and accept the road I've asked you to take. Quit worrying about how I'm going to bless Joe and start worrying about how I'm going to bless Gene. Quit worrying about what I've asked Joe to do and do what I've asked Gene to do. And that's where you're going to find the will of God in your life. Thanks, Pastor Joe. So think about it here today. This is something that Jesus came to the very heart to really penetrate this issue that you and I have is this comparing. All right, God, I know you've asked me to do this, but what about them? And today, Jesus talked about this very much in the parables. Many of his parables had to do with this same attitude of comparing. Remember those who said, he told the story about the man who hired all those guys to work, and he promised them a full day's wage, and at the very end, he pulled in some guys at the last minute because they needed extra help, and he paid them the same amount of work for working just like 1 hour as the guys who worked 8 hours. That's not fair. And the owner said, what do you mean it's not fair? Did I not pay you what I promised you? Yeah. Well, what's it to you if I had to pay somebody else at the last minute to come over here and work? What's it make a difference to you? I didn't cheat you. You and I had an agreement. It's at the very heart of the teaching of Jesus. Jesus was trying to get to this very spirit of comparison that you and I fall into because it's a trap that Satan sets for all of us. Matter of fact, we'll find out here in just a few minutes how this comparison leads and opens us up, can open up our heart and open up us up to demonic influence in our life according to Scripture. So let's look at it. Let's talk about it. I'm going to talk about the curse, the cause, and the cure today. The curse, the three C's. The curse, the cause, and the cure of comparison. Let's talk about the curse of comparison. When we start comparing, these are the things that happen. It produces, number A, it produces an inferiority in our life and a superiority. In other words, when you start comparing everybody else to yourself, you either feel better, thinking, boy, I'm much better than them. I'm doing better than them. And when that produces what? Pride. Come on, let's be honest. You start getting prideful. I'm doing better off than them. I'm being blessed to God more than them. I'm doing this better. I've got a better this or better that. That produces the spirit of pride. And I think I'm very clear when we study Scripture that Scripture says that God hates any spirit of pride. I mean, we don't find that word in Scripture used very much. But one thing that God cannot stand, and it says, no, he cannot stand it, he hates, is a spirit of pride. Or we come in comparing, we say, well, either I'm prideful or I feel inferior. God, you don't love me as much as you love them. God, you love them more than I'm not as good as them. I'll never be used to God like them. And both spirits are so incorrect. When you start comparing yourself to everybody else, one of two things are going to happen. Either a spirit of pride is going to rise up, or you're going to have a spirit of self-pity, feeling inferior, and both of those things are so untrue. God says all through Scripture how he has created us equal, that we have equal value to him, that he died, last I checked, he died for all sins, that God so loved the world. Not that God loved this person any more than you. We see through Scripture where he is not a respecter of persons when it comes to that, but he loves us all equally the same. It produces insecurity, pride. It also produces an anger toward God. When you start comparing, it produces anger toward God. Because what happens is this, we start comparing, we say, well, God, you blessed them, and you didn't bless me. That's not fair. And all of a sudden, we start resenting God. And God's like, what? You don't even understand. You don't even understand the plan I have for their life. Well, if I could just have their life, they got so much better than me. Let me give you an inside track. We all got problems. And none of us have it easy. Some people have more visible problems. Other people got things that's going on behind the scenes that you don't even know what they're carrying. You don't even know the road they've walked. Oh, their road's so much easier than mine. God asked them, you don't know that? You don't know the hell they went through to get to where God's got them today? Quit comparing yourself with everybody else. Because when we do that, makes them say, God, oh, I'm so mad because you gave them a bigger blessing than you gave me. See, when you start comparing, it causes you to get angry toward God. Which in turn, C opens the door to Satan in our life. When you allow that comparing spirit to come in, it brings pride, which God hates, or it brings inferiority, which God says, you know what? You are important. It comes against everything the Scripture teaches us about how God values us. Look what James 3 says. Let's make it, okay. Pastor, I don't believe that I can be influenced by demonic spirits because I'm a Christian and, you know, I just don't believe that. Well, let's see what the Bible says here. James 3, 14 through 16 says, but if you have bitter envy, envy is what? It's comparing. I want what you have. I'm envious of what you have. He says, those who have envious spirit, they're self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but the earthly, sensual, and what else? Demonic. Those who have envy in their heart, those who allow envy to rule their heart, they are opening us up to demonic influence. Now, I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm not saying any of that. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Satan sets a trap out for you and I, and many times we don't realize the biggest mousetrap he sets for you and I is this comparison envies. He sets it out there, and he wants you and I to start comparing each other. Well, God blessed him, but didn't bless me. Well, God blessed her, didn't bless me. God gave them a better marriage, and he gave me. God gave them better children, he gave me. God gave them a better house, and he gave me. God gave them a better job, and he gave me. God gave them a better church, and he gave me. Come on. It's a trap that Satan sets for you and I to get us to a place where Satan can come in and influence our life and take strongholds in our life. So that's the curse of it. Let's talk about the causes of it now. What's the cause? When we compare us to spirit, it causes us to have a lack of acceptance of who God made us to be. When I start comparing, allowing that comparison spirit to come in, it allows me to walk and say, you know what? I don't trust who God's made me to be. I don't know. God made them a lot better than he made me. God, you had such a better plan for them than my plan. And that is so untrue. I mean, that is such an untrue spirit that Satan wants you to think that. Satan wants you to think you are inferior. Satan wants you to think that God loves this side more than he loves this side over here. Satan wants you to think that they're God's favorite and you're not. Last I checked, he died for all of our sins. Scripture talks about over and over again how we are fearfully crafted, how we are wonderfully and individually made of God, and how he knew us in the womb. Look what 1 Corinthians says in chapter 12. Verses 24 and 25, realizing this as we go into this, that Romans 12 says that we all have different gifts, right? We're all called to the body. And you need to hear this today. We all have different gifts. So when's God going to use me? When's God going to use me? Let's read the scripture. While our presentable parts need to be special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body. But that this part should have equal concern for each of you, for each other. What's he saying? He's saying that all of our gifts are equal, that we're called to minister one to another. He's made the body depend upon each other. Bottom line is we are all important. He says we're all important and we all need us. And how would you feel today if you went this Christmas and worked overtime, and bought your kids presents at Christmas time, and you give it to your kids at Christmas time, and they unwrap those presents at Christmas time, and maybe it was a big ticket item, maybe it cost $150, and you bought this item, and they open it up, and they look at it and go, this is not fair. I got this one. I wanted the red one. Susie next door got the red one, and I got the white one, and I wanted the red. It's not fair. I don't want this. I wanted the red one. How many know that would fire you up? How many know that might fire your kids up as well? And unleash that spirit. What would happen? Would you be very disappointed in your children for that spirit? I wonder how much God looks at us and goes, man. Did you not see? My son died for everyone. Do you not see? I've given gifts to everyone. Do you not see that you're all valuable to the kingdom of God? See, when you begin to compare, you say, God, I have a lack of discernment of accepting who I am. Let me just put it to you straight. Stop. Stop wanting everybody else's gift and start developing the gifts that God's got for you and I want to set you free today. Stop wanting everybody else. If I could only sing, I could minister to the hundreds of people. If I could only sing, stop wanting everybody else's gift. If I could only preach in front of the crowd, if I could only teach like him, if I could only organize like her, if I could only pray like this person, if I could only quit wanting everybody else's gifts, and say, God, thank you for their gift. What's my gift? And help me develop that. Because the sooner I come to grips with what the gifts God is trying to do in me, the more can take that gift. God can take that gift and multiply it to reach the body of Christ and to reach a dying world who's going to hell and needs somebody to quit feeling sorry for themselves and care about them. That's good. I know. Thank you very much. I mean, maybe I should get back here and hide today. I feel you guys might start chunking things at me in a few minutes because it's going to get a little rough here. That's all right. No, we've got to realize today that we got to stop coveting and wanting everybody else's gift and start saying, God, I want my gift. God's got a gift for you, and he wants you to develop that gift. See, when we start comparing, it brings in, says what? Well, we don't have a lack of acceptance of who God has called us to be, and then it brings a lack of identity. It brings a lack of identity. Understand who God has called you to be. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Says it very clear. It says, we do not dare to classify or what? Compare, right? He says, we don't dare compare ourselves with someone who commended themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. What's he saying? He's saying, those who compare yourselves, you're not wise. If you're not wise, you must be foolish. The person who walks around in a spirit of comparison all the time is walking around in a foolish spirit. I'm just telling you, you want to be wise? Walk with wise people. Act like wise people. Quit comparing yourself and say, this is who I am. That's who God's made me to be. I've got to quit being jealous and envy and compare myself to everyone else. See, at the very root of comparison, we find the spirit of jealousy and envy. We just read about it a few minutes ago. Jealousy of what? Jealousy of people. Jealousy is my jealousy of people, and envy is my envy of things. I'm jealous of this person and their gift, and I'm jealous of this person and their possessions. I allow the spirit of jealousy and envy to come upon me. And let me tell you right now, listen to me. This is why I believe that God hates the spirit of comparison so much, because when you really think about it, all sin originated where? We can take back the first sin on earth happened where? In the garden. What happened is the first sin in the garden? The snake, Satan, talks to Eve and says, hey, I know God's giving you all these good things, but he's trying to hold back one thing from you. And if you eat of it, you can do all the good things he does. You'll have all the knowledge that he has. You'll have all the power that he has. Satan got Eve to start comparing herself against God. And got her to do the one, only one. I mean, think about it. How simple can it be? God has given thousands of blessings throughout the garden every day for them to have. He says, you can do all this, but one thing. There's only one sin you can commit. And don't do it. And she finds the one thing she's not supposed to do and can't do and does it. And it's like us. We'll find the very one thing we're not supposed to do. We'll find ourselves struggling with that. I believe one of the reasons why Satan really uses this is because it's a trap. And one of the reasons why God detests it so much is because it was the first thing that Satan used to trap us up. And to get us going in the garden down the wrong path. A separation from God was to use the sin of comparing. I want to be like them. I want to do like them. See, when we start envying everybody else's things, it leads us down a road we don't want to go. We do things we thought we'd never do. We go places we thought we'd never go. Because we allow the spirit of comparison to come in and say, I need this. I gotta have this. I'm not that. Or we allow the spirit of envy to come in and I'm never going to be good enough. They're better than me. I've blown it. They haven't. God loves them, doesn't love me as much. And either way, Satan is sitting back laughing, going, it still works. It worked in the garden and it's working today. But I'm here to declare in your life that you don't have to live in the power and the snare of comparison. That God is calling you to live a better life than that. God is calling you to walk blessed. Better than that. See, when we walk in that spirit, it also brings us into the spirit of covetousness. What's the, one of the first things we find in the Ten Commandments, one of the first commands God gave was what? He says, don't covet. Don't covet. Why? Because he knew it was something that Satan would use to snare us with. To be coveting means you have greed and a selfish spirit you allow to come upon you. I want what somebody else has because I don't like what God gave me. When you covet, let me say again, when you covet, you're saying, I want what somebody else has because I don't like what God gave me. It's ingratitude at its highest level. When we covet, it's ingratitude at its highest level. It's us shaking our spiritual fist at God saying, I don't like what you gave me. Well, I didn't realize I was doing that, Pastor. Well, that's what happens when we operate in the spirit of covetousness. Colossians 3:15 makes it very clear. Therefore, just put to death, kill it off, terminate it. Don't let it come back. Let it be gone. Kill it. What? He goes, the members, talking about our body, that bring the fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and what else? Covetousness. Which is what? What is covetousness? Idolatry. See, when I put my attention on the blessing others get and not the blessor from which it came, then I begin to make that thing an idol of my life. God, I want what they got. I want the blessing they got. God, I want the car you blessed them with. I want the house you blessed them with. I want the family you blessed them with. I want the spouse you blessed them with. God, I want the gifts you blessed them with. And we start idolizing the gifts and the blessing that somebody else got. And we take our eyes off of where it came from. And we make those things idols in our life. All right, are you ready for some good stuff here? Write this down. Could it be? I want to pull your toes back a little bit. Could it be that you being upset when God blesses someone else is stopping God from blessing you? Boom. Let's say it again. Could it be that you being upset when God blesses someone else is stopping God from blessing you? How many of us get upset when God blesses somebody else? God, I wish you blessed me that way. God, I wish you blessed me with that raise. God, I bless you. Wish you blessed me with a better job. God, I bless you. I wish you blessed me with this thing. God, I wish you blessed me with an inheritance like that. God, I wish you blessed me with somebody giving me a new car. God, I wish you blessed me with healing my body. God, I wish you would. And we get envious and we allow a coveting to come upon us. And it stops us because we get bitter. And then God's like, you know, I want to do something for you, but I can't. You're too immature. How can I bless the spirit? It's the same spirit I talked about a while ago about our kids opening up those presents and not respecting what we've given them. If your kids act that way, I can guarantee you the next Christmas they ain't going to get anything, are they? Here you go. Here's a shoebox. Have fun. No, not until I see a change in gratitude. Not until you realize how much we work to pay for this. Not until you show some gratitude. Are you going to get anything else? Sorry, it ain't going to happen. I wonder how much God looks at us and says, I can't. I want to do more for you. I want to bless you more. But until you quit being so jealous of everybody else's blessing, I can't bless you. See, because right here, write this down. The mature Christian. Now, some of us are there. Some of us are trying to get there. It's okay. But this is what it looks like. The mature Christian should be the first one excited when God blesses someone else. You should be the first one excited when God blesses somebody else. I can tell you that this is something I've had to work on in my life. But I've learned to do this. I remember when I first started the church here in town, I had some of the older pastors in town didn't like it, man. They were like, this town don't need another church. Oh, and I just didn't treat me very nice, sad to say. So you know what I do now when I hear somebody else starting a new church in town? I call them up. I send them a message. I go by and pray for them. I said, man, that's great. Let me know if I can help you in any way possible. And we our finance community. We wrote checks to people in town. We've helped other churches in town. Why? Because we want to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing. When they succeed and God blesses them, I don't go, "Oh God, when are you going to bless me? I was doing this more before they were. I was doing better before they were. And now," no, I say, "God, thank you that you're blessing them. I rejoice with them. Because you know why? Because if he's doing for them, he can do for me. And I want to unlock that in my life." I've attended conferences with big churches with pastors, and I'll go with friends, and they come out like this, "Oh, man, I wish, man, we'll never see this. We'll never see that kind of revival at our church. We'll never see this kind of thing happen in our church. We'll never see this. We'll never build this kind of building. We'll never do this facilities. We'll never do this." And they walk out defeated. I'm like, "Ah, hallelujah. Why are you excited? Because if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. It just builds my faith up. Thank you, God. I want to sow seed into that ministry because I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I believe that, God, you can do it for them. You can do it for me." See, I tell you, I quit being a person who puts out a lot of numbers on Facebook. I used to do it, you know, but I have a lot of pastor friends on my friends. And, you know, pastors are no different than you are. And so I guarantee if I put out God's blessing, and every once in a while I put out a little bit just because it's hard not to keep it in, you know. But I try to be really careful because I can put it out there on some of our big days, and we've had so many people saved, and we've packed out 3 services, you know, and I can throw out numbers. I put them on there, and then I have 20 other friends on there, and 15 minutes later, somebody else, this number is just like 20 more than me. And then 15 minutes later, the next guy comes on there, it's like 20 more than them. The next guy comes on, he's like 5 more than that person. The next person comes on, he's 10 more than that person. All of a sudden, his numbers are growing. I'm like, "You guys are lying. Every one of you lying right now. You are evangelistic," we'll be saying, you know, evangelastic speaking. That's a term we use in the pastor church. We evangelistically speak. We kind of stretch the number sometimes, stretch the truth. It hits us all right. Anyway, come on, don't tell me you guys don't do the same thing. Someone says, "Oh, I want to thank God. I got a 2009 car given to me, a certain model and year." You say, "It was all paid for. And, you know, I had a car that wasn't running, and now God gave me this car. It's paid off, and thank you, Lord." And you're like, "Oh, that's so good. But you know what? That's a good car. But mine was 2010 and had less mileage. But it's a good car. It's a good car." Next person, "Yeah, but I bought mine last year, 2012, and it was, you know, it was a good car. You made a good decision." It's like we all got to stop. Stop trying to be the one up everybody else. How about praise God that God blessed you? And I pray that he does it even more. I pray this is a start of God showing you how much he's in charge of your life. And if you'll continue to put him first, he'll continue to bless you. And I pray that God blesses you over and over and over again. That releases that spirit of comparison. It helps me to walk away from a spirit of jealousy. "I wish my husband was more like her husband." No, you don't. Believe me, you don't. I'm telling you, the spirit of comparison leaves us in a trap where Satan wants us. Let me give you the cure real fast as we close. The cure for this comparison can be found in Romans 1:21. We find some things here that it talks about. He says, because although they knew God, okay, first of all, who knows God? Is this Christians? All right. So he's talking to us, okay? He's talking to us as a church, the Christians. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. They were ungrateful, but became futile in what? Their thoughts, futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. So it gives us a pattern right here, 3 things we need to do. First of all, we've got to learn to glorify God. Start glorifying God. Get your eyes off the blessing and get your eyes back on the blesser. Get your eyes off the blessing and get your eyes back on the blesser. God, you are big. Begin to magnify. What's glorify? It means I magnify God. I mean, you know what? You ever had those motels when you go to the hotel and they have those magnifying mirrors? And you like look at it, you're like, "I'm going to shave with this mirror," and you pull it over there and you're like, "Woo!" That thing magnifies yourself. What happens? Man, you ever looked yourself in one of those magnifying mirrors? It's not pretty, is it? That's an ugly sight. It just makes you look all distorted. That's kind of the way we magnify ourselves. It's not pretty. But when we start magnifying God, when I put my attention on how big He is, when I begin to magnify Him and not myself, things begin to get more clearly in my life. I magnify God. How do I quit comparing God? I magnify that You are great and great to be praised. God, I magnify that You are in control of my life. God, I magnify You. Then I move from glorifying God into what? A spirit of gratitude, being thankful. God, I thank You. I thank You, God, that You are doing great things in my life. I thank You, God, that this week I'm not where I was last week. God, I'm thankful that even though I'm not where I want to be, God, You got me on a better path heading in the right direction. God, I'm thankful that even though I was once a person lost and dying in my sin, that God, You're changing my life around. God, I'm thankful that even though I may not be where everything I wanted to be, things are much better. And every blessing I have comes from the Father above. Matter of fact, that's your assignment this week, that when you get up every day this week, I want you to find three things to thank God for, and begin to thank Him all day long for those three things. I want you to get into a spirit of gratitude, thanking God. What's gratitude? It's an attitude of grace. God, thank You that everything I have, I don't deserve. It only comes from the Father. Whether it's big, whether it's small, I've only got it because of God's grace in my life. Begin to thank God. Thank Him. Magnify God. Thank God. And renew your minds, what it said. Renew your thoughts. We talked about this a lot the last few weeks. Continue to renew your thoughts. This is how we break out of that spirit of comparison. Now today, as musicians come, quickly, I want you just to bow your heads. I want to ask you a question today. You're here, say, Pastor, you're talking about the spirit of comparison, and really you're talking about where I'm at, because I'm looking at my life, comparing it to other people. I'm lost. I'm lost without Jesus today. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to ask Jesus to come into my life today. I'm comparing my life to where I know it needs to be, and I'm nowhere near what God wants me to be. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I won't do anything to embarrass You at all. We won't single You out. Well, with nobody looking today, I want to make sure you have a chance to accept Jesus Christ. And that's you today. Say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus. Raise it high where I can see it right now. Nobody's looking at me. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's the last chance I'm going to ask right now. Come on. This is your day. New change. New life. If you're ready, raise your hand. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. I'm going to ask you to say it out loud with me. As Christians, we're going to also say it out loud with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I ask You to be Lord of my life. I ask You to come into my life today. Take away all my sin. Take away all my hurt. Take away everything today. I give it to You. From this day forward, I will live my life for You. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, we're excited to have you today. Let me just give you this basic instruction today. If you made that prayer your personal prayer today, you need to be involved in a local life-giving church who will love you and accept you and train you. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. Get connected. You can't do it alone. It's just a journey starting today, new journey. Now today, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads for this next question, because I already know the answer. I know that all of us in this room, at some point, struggle with the spirit of comparison, right? The question I have for you is simply this. How many say, Pastor, I want to release that stronghold in my life, and I want to quit walking around comparing my life to everybody else's life, and I want to learn to walk in the blessings of God in my life. I want to learn to accept the life God has given me, and I want to learn to discover the gifts God's got for me. I want to stop being jealous of other people and start being a person that blessing other people and get my eyes focused back on God. How many say that's me? I'm breaking that spirit in my life this morning. Anybody? I invite you to stand with me this morning as we close today. If you want to join me around the front, you're more than welcome to do that. We're going to close with a song. Let's make it the prayer of our hearts. Say, God, I am breaking free from a jealous spirit, a comparison spirit. I'm going to walk in the freedom you've given me today. Through your blood, I can walk free. Come on, Joe.
Speaks a better word than all the empty things heard upon this earth. It speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus is your name. Your blood, King Jesus.
I'm going to invite you to lift your hands this morning. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that we will stop being jealous of everybody else's gift and we'll learn to develop the gift things you got within us. God, I pray that you allow that spirit of comparison that has kept us anchored in, has kept us stuck, has kept us treading water, and has not allowed fruit to come in our life. Father, right now, I come against that spirit. It's the same spirit that Satan used in the garden against Eve and is still trying to use today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that freedom would come in Jesus' name, releasing that spirit of comparison. And God, we'll learn to put our attention on you, God, how big our God is. And we'll learn to say, God, I accept who I am, and I accept you got a plan for my life. I accept the giftings you've given me. I accept the timing that you've allowed me to walk in. I accept your will now and stop me to quit looking so far ahead that it allows me to be jealous and stop me from being productive where I am today. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, freedom, freedom from jealous spirits, envious spirits. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we can be walk free as sons and daughters. Quit comparing ourselves to other girls. Quit comparing ourselves to other guys. We're comparing ourselves to other people and learning to walk in the freedom that you created us to be. God, I speak it over everyone's life here today. Father, we walk in that. If you receive that word, put your hands together and bless God one more time. Amen. God bless you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless you.